Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today's episode, we're thrilled to welcome Professor Richard Conroy, Chairman of Carelian Diamond Resources, to dive deep into a series of groundbreaking announcements that have positioned the company at the forefront of mineral exploration. First, we'll explore the significant strides made in the quest for the elusive source of the Kumo green diamond in Finland. Recent electron microanalysis of kimberlitic garnets has not only indicated the presence of a diamond stability field, but also suggests an imminent proximity to the diamond-bearing kimberlite, marking a potential breakthrough in the search for colored diamonds, which are highly prized in the market. So welcome, Richard.
Good to see you.
Absolutely. So I mean, it's been a while since you've appeared on the podcast, but just take us through this recent news surrounding the search for the elusive colored diamonds that you so eagerly seek.
Well, we've had some very, very good news that we just released this morning. It's very technical, but the point of it is that it seems as though we may be very close indeed to the source of the green diamond that we discovered some time back. And that, of course, would be tremendous. It would be the culmination of a long exploration program. And it would be a very successful culmination in that, of course, as you were saying, colored diamonds now have a value very considerably above that of colorless diamonds. So we're very pleased.
Absolutely. So these you've mentioned in the past that I think that some of these world-class diamond deposits in Finland, comparable to the there are also two world-class diamond deposits where I believe are Lomonosov and Grib, excuse my pronunciation, but there's certainly a quite difficult word. And I believe that they potentially have similar geology across the border from Finland. Do you want to just talk us through those mines and whether they...
Yes, they are two world-class diamond mines. Deposits. The Lomonosov one is probably the second largest in the world next to the Botswana one. And the Grib pipe itself is also a major world-class deposit. And the whole trend of our exploration, the purpose of it really, is to see could one find a similar sized deposit in Finland. The geology, as you rightly say, is the same. It's not easy. It's been a long search and exploration-wise, but it certainly is enormously encouraging, the results that we brought out this morning, where we see from the technical people's point of view that there's a diamond stability field just beside looking and that we may well be hitting the origin of these green diamonds. And as you were rightly saying, the colored diamonds are much more valuable than those that don't have color, which is one of the reasons, incidentally, why Lahtioki deposit, which is a small deposit compared with what we're looking for, but nonetheless could be a very profitable small deposit because it just has a high percentage of colored diamonds, particularly pink ones, making very, very good progress. Things are all coming together at the one time, as it were.
Yep. So, Professor Conroy, tell us just, I know you're not a trained geologist, but you do know what you're talking about in terms of this situation. How are the diamonds formed? How deep do they tend to be in the other mines? And what do we need to find to then start looking, if you like? From my very simplistic view, it's almost like diamonds are created in sort of like shoots, if you like. In other words, you get a chute coming up from the magma in the earth, and this then creates the diamonds. Well, like a pipe, yes, shoots the wrong word. Is this right?
Well, the diamonds are actually formed very deep below the earth's surface. That's why it was this morning that the diamond stability field, that these kimberlites, garnets are coming from that diamond stability field, is so absolutely crucial. From away underneath the surface, they come up in what are known as kimberlite pipes. Kimberlites are not diamonds themselves, but they're necessary to bring the diamonds from depth up to the surface. And diamond mines, the actual diamond mines and diamond deposits, tend to be very close to the surface. They may go down quite a long way, but you're literally looking at diamonds perhaps 10, 20 meters underneath the surface, which is, you know, very, very close and does make mining a lot easier. In fact, diamond mining is very straightforward. You don't have all the complications that you have in other mines, so it could be very profitable indeed. But what we're looking for, and we think hopefully we're getting closer to it, as a sort of major discovery that the Russians have made on their side of the border.
Okay, so for a market capitalization of it's currently 2.25 million or maybe a bit more after the tick up this morning, what sort of proportion in terms of the value of what the things are over the border, you know, is Carillion worth, if you like? I mean, if you find anything remotely like what is across the border and the stuff that you already effectively have, I think there are colored diamonds in the other and the other resource that you discussed. I mean, what could this be worth?
Well, the figures are very, very big indeed. You're talking literally in terms of billions in relation to Lamanasov deposit and indeed also the grip pipe. So the transformation for a company such as ourselves would, of course, be absolutely enormous. We know that diamonds do exist in Finland. And in fact, as you're aware, we own a diamond deposit, relatively small one, although it could be very profitable because, as I've mentioned, the colored diamonds in it. But even more important than that is that it confirms in the geology on the Finnish side of the border that you also have diamond deposits. Now, what we're looking for is a very, very large diamond deposit, and that, of course, would be transformational to the company. One with a tiny couple of million market capitalization, it's difficult to say what might happen, but it certainly doesn't represent the capitalization that we'd be looking towards if we make a major diamond discovery.
I think on my last research, Ked, the numbers from the Lomonosov mine from an annual production were around 2 million carats, and the grip was around 4 million carats under Lukoil.
Yeah. Oh, okay. They are big. You're talking very serious figures.
A lot of money. Okay, so just give people an overview of Carillion, obviously, because we talked about the diamonds, and obviously this is what this announcement's about, but you also have some pretty exciting stuff happening in Northern Ireland. I'm actually going to be in Northern Ireland for a day in June, so I was hoping maybe I could pop across and have a look at the stuff in Northern Ireland. I'll be in Ross Trevor, so maybe drive up and have a meeting with somebody on that day just to have a look at what's going on in Northern Ireland. That would be good, but give us an overview anyway of what's happening.
You'd be very welcome indeed to come to our central courtyard there and go out on site. It's certainly tremendously promising. What we seem to be on the margin of there is the possibility of a significant copper, nickel, platinum group metals discovery. This sometimes happens, by the way, when you're looking for diamonds, because some of the technical indicator substances are very similar in relation to diamonds as they are in relation to nickel and copper. Indeed, one of the largest nickel mines in the world, the Voisey Bay discovery, was made as part of what was a diamond exploration program. I'm not saying we're going to be in that category, but it's certainly looking very promising. And it gives, of course, a second wing to Carillion in that we have both this very, very promising diamond program in Finland, and as well as that, what could be a very interesting program indeed in relation to copper, nickel, and platinum group metals in Northern Ireland. You'd certainly be very welcome to come and visit it if you're over there. Look forward to seeing you.
Yeah, yeah. It's probably going to be a Sunday, but we'll try and do something anyway. Because I'm actually going over for a celebration for a border walk that's been going on for 10 years, which I was part of on Saturday. So, yeah, let's see if we can sort something out. Yeah, it'd be good to go and see. Yeah.
A few hours would give you a feel of it, being feet on the ground sort of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And just so people understand, obviously, Conroy Gold also is a reasonable shareholder in Carillion Diamonds as well. So I presume there's going to be some more news coming in terms of Conroy Gold as well over the coming term. Again, as we talked off camera there before we start to talk, the reality of Conroy Gold also is that I think people just don't get it. I mean, we were talking about PDAC and the fact that you were at PDAC again, and many of the majors are still coming to talk to you because this is so big that even Demir and yourself probably can't cope with this.
I think that's very, very true. The sheer magnitude of it, especially since we've now found an entire second gold zone, is quite enormous. And indeed, some of the majors, as you mentioned, almost find it difficult to take it on board. They'll say things like, "You mean you have the entire new district to yourselves?" Because usually what happens in exploration is if you're lucky, you find something somewhere in a gold zone and somebody else finds something somewhere else in it and other people aren't so lucky. We have the two entire zones entirely to ourselves. But you might almost say at the moment it is such an enormous challenge that we're delighted that some of the very major companies came along to our booth at PDEC and showed an interest, which indeed they've been showing for quite some years. But now we've made so much progress that it's becoming something that we'll really have to look at, just the sheer size of it, the sheer potential. So that's all very exciting as well. And if you're over in Northern Ireland, of course, obviously, fit in a half an hour or so just to show you some things there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, with a gold price now of $2,360 an ounce.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not a million miles away from approaching £2,000 an ounce or €2,000 an ounce. I think it probably is €2,000 an ounce, possibly now. You know, the profitability of this gold is just becoming, you know, I was going to use your word, ridiculous.
It'd be very nice.
You know, so there is definitely a potential large upside there. As I say, what it looks like in Finland is, it doesn't look so much as a long shot, but obviously there's a lot more work to do. You already have a small deposit within Carillion, which, I mean, if somebody offered you £2 or 3 million for the small deposit at the minute that you have in diamonds in Finland, would you consider it, or do you think it's got potential to be worth more?
No, we've had one or two approaches, and we're not interested. Even for the Lattioki deposit, perhaps we might do a joint venture or something or other like that. But it would have to be a very, very good offer indeed for us to be interested in selling it. And of course, it's just a relatively small deposit. But over on the eastern side of Finland, where it looks as though we may be making this discovery, and you can never guarantee anything, but it is looking extremely promising, particularly in view of the results that we announced this morning. We certainly wouldn't be interested in anything other than a very major offer indeed.
Yeah. Just talk us through the upcoming court update or court hearing, which I think is scheduled for May the 21st, which obviously concerns the appeals from the two landowners about the compensation and mine boundary adjustments for Lattioki. And then obviously, you know, it's a crucial step forward, presumably for finalising land possession needed for the mine. And just how pivotal a moment is it for potentially securing the future of the diamond mining concession, and really what it would mean for Carillion as a company should it all go ahead?
Well, it's a very important moment in process in Finland, is that you have to have a legal hearing once there's a query as to the change in a boundary of a property. And it doesn't really matter whether it's a mining property or a very small agricultural holding or something like that. It's the law over there, and we have to follow it. Very straightforward, but it does take time. But this is a relatively small change in the property boundary. They will decide whether we can maintain the current property boundary or make a very small change in that boundary. It's not a big thing from the overall point of view, but nonetheless has to go through the proper legal process. And then quite apart from that, two of the landowners have looked for an increase. The amount of compensation that was awarded to them by the land court, and we've already paid all the rest of the landowners and indeed put in money for these two people, and we'll obviously accept whatever the decision is of the land court. However, it does mean under Finnish law you cannot proceed, and the Finnish Mining Department cannot issue you with full permission to go ahead with preparations, so on, the enormous amount of preparations on that you'll have to do when you're bringing in a mine. So everything is held up, you might say, over relatively minor matters. Whichever way they turn out, we're very comfortable. But the main thing is that we have a decision, so that the mining department can in turn issue us with the final license and then carry on from there.
Very good. So the question I was going to pose to you was the one about what are the next steps in terms of progressing the situation in terms of the garnets. The other question I had, which popped into my mind because we've had this in a previous podcast, is do the garnets themselves have a intrinsic value? Because we've had this in another copper play in Nevada, actually. GMET is the name of the company. And they found considerable amounts of garnet, and you know, economically, they're actually very viable.
Yeah, that can happen indeed, but the sort of garnets that we're looking at are those very specifically related to the presence of diamonds. That's the situation there. But we obviously keep our eyes open for any opportunity. That's how we've come across the major opportunity in the north of Ireland for copper, nickel and PGM.
Very good. Well, we wish you luck. We hope to hear from you shortly. I will be in communications with you about my travels, and hopefully I can see you in a couple of months' time.
Look forward to that.
Yeah. Professor Richard Conroy, Chairman of Carelian Diamond Resources, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks, Professor.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.